Welcome to the July 21st edition of the PFF Forecast. We're taping this on a Wednesday evening. We've got Deonte Lee coming in to do the defensive player draft. Very excited about it. We obviously teased this with our last episode where we talked about pass rush versus coverage. Go check that out. If you are new to that conversation or you didn't listen to that podcast, it'll set up
that
this draft.
That was well received, I felt, for a good conversation that we were kind of just talking out loud.
Yeah, we got lucky.
Riffing a little bit, yeah.
No, it was good. And so it also allowed us to set up this draft, which we do with Deonte here, where we draft defensive players. We do, seven rounds of the draft. It was a lot of fun. Deonte is fantastic.
Great beard, great sense of humor, great football great mind. Picks. Yeah, I mean, what else could you ask for in a guest? So, great recommendations, too.
Great recommendations, that's true. So yeah. Let's rock. We'll get to Deonte here in a second. Sun's out, sky's out, thighs out. So I'm trying to protect my. We also like weirdly look like we're matching today. It's.
All I'm it actually does, wearing a green. So shirt. one of my best friends like now watches this show back home, and he goes either you're really big or I'm like no I'm really big like I'm a lot bigger than George.
He was saying I was really small.
Well, he's just like you're. It was the one with you, me, and Chris, and he's like even Chris looks like I'm like. Thanks, man. Like that. Appreciate
you. Do you need to get on Big Ben's diet?
See, I feel like I've crossed there, and my derivative is more positive than that.
Can we be very real for a second? Big Ben's diet is just like not drinking a 12-pack every night, right?
So, as somebody who has dealt with weight, both from when I played football, but also after,
and looks like Big Ben.
Please don't. But I will say, like, the amount of work it takes to lose or gain like double digit pounds is very, very minimal relative to like a person who's not 6'3", 240 or something. Yeah. Like it's you know, 6'3", 240 is like a 12 pack away from 6'3", 252 and a half.
If you had to lose, like if someone came up to you and bet you, hey, could you lose or gain this amount of weight? Let's go with lose. What is the number at which you would not bet them that you could lose that amount of weight?
How much time?
Let's say like.
Do we want to do a like this is sort of.
I'm thinking about a bet here. Like yeah. You know, like what would it be like? Let's take a week.
When's week one is September 12th.
That's a long time. Anyone can lose any amount of weight. How much
could in a month?
Yeah. How much could you lose in a week?
In a week? I'm going on vacation though.
No. I'm not actually going to make you do it. I'm curious.
I could probably lose 12 and a half to 15 pounds in a week.
And by
extension, yeah. Probably gain that many. Yeah. I mean, I'm a big guy. It's not we're dealing with percentages here, George.
Yeah. I mean, I think that like in a couple,
like
if you were like, hey, gain, and I want to be careful what I say here.
Yeah.
But like
16%, 16 pounds is I'm just guessing here. 17 pounds is like 10% of your body. It's not like
right. So I weigh like 165.
Yeah.
But I think that I could get to like over 180 in like 24 hours. Yeah.
But we should do some sort of thing after I get back from my vacation that like is. Because by then week one will it be like in like a month range?
Yeah. See, the problem is the 24 hours thing only works because
not 24 hours. I'm saying like legitimately, like over a certain bet over a month time.
Yeah. See, I just don't want to put on the. I'm not going to actually put on weight, but like I wonder what if I got up to the losing weight thing would be interesting.
I mean, for you it would be kind of unhealthy though. I feel once. I mean, 165.
If I got up,
you're like 6 feet tall almost, like, right?
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Can we clip that? That's how we need to end the podcast there. I'm like 6 feet tall, according to Eric Eager, who's a tall man. Very smart, good at math. I'm like 6 feet tall. I'm going with that. Before we get to Deonte, a couple of things to tell everybody about. The first is SAVE40 is the promo code. Sorry, SAVE40, S-A-V-E 40.
Chris SAVE.
Jesus. For old baseball references, you can go to @PFF_Eric But for 40% off on any PFF subscription, you can use the promo code SAVE40 at PFF.com. A lot of good things up there. So PFF's fantasy football draft guide is complete. It's up. All player rankings and projections are live on the site and changing as news breaks. College football, for example, Cam Akers out. We've got you covered. Aaron Rodgers, when he gets traded or actually stays with the Packers, we've got you covered. College Football Preview Magazine, the first edition of the 2022 NFL Draft Guide. Yes, that's right. You heard that correctly. And, of course, all of PFF's locked article content, 40% off. That means it's just $5.99 a month. But if you want the props tool, now is the time to get it as well. You know what we're talking about. If you're listening to this podcast, you know you need the props tool, so get it for 40% off. Additionally, go to Fantrax, because at Fantrax, you can do fantasy drafts unlike anything you've ever seen before. Fantasy drafts kind of suck. You go to Yahoo, you go to ESPN, they're fucking drafter, it's trash. You can't do anything. Their leagues aren't customizable. Go to Fantrax, where you can actually customize shit. Multi-team trades, player salary, contract options. You just, now you're slacking me in the middle of a read. How am I supposed to get through this? It does sound like Amtrax. But go to Fantrax. You won't
catch it quick. It's like, it's infectious. This site is amazing, and that's why they made it sound that way.
Oh God, you're incredible. That's why we do this podcast, for moments like that. It's an incredible site. Go to Fantrax. I promise you, you will enjoy it. Go to Fantrax.com/PFF, and I can't even think anymore. But trust me, go to Fantrax. They're actually really good, and you won't catch anything bad. And also go to Symbol, S-I-M-B-U-L-L. It is a stock market for sports teams you can buy and sell. This is the part of the show where Eric tells you how his portfolio is doing. You get paid out dividends when those teams win. You can trade and buy as the stock prices change. If you use promo code PFF at SIMBULL.app/PFF and deposit $10, you get a free PFF Edge annual subscription that usually costs you $40. How's the portfolio?
Doing okay. Basically steady the last few weeks. No game's been played.
All right, let's get to Deontay Lee. All right, we have joining us here, Deontay Lee. If you don't know who Deontay is, you should go check him out. On Twitter, he is PFF's newest full-time analyst. And if you haven't listened to him, I'd be surprised, because he's done a lot of great content over the airwaves. I think one of the most widely known ones is he was on the Athletic Football Show. Nate Tyson, Robert Mays talked about defensive schemes. Fantastic episode if you're looking to learn more about the NFL. But the biggest thing, Deontay, is that you're joining us live from San Diego, California, which the jealousy here is very palpable. I don't know if you can see it, but it's here.
Hey, it was 85 degrees today, so I'm complaining. You know, I know that there are probably a lot of people who would love to have that, but I'm complaining. I'm mad that I can't wear my hoodies anymore.
You've somehow managed to go long sleeves today, though. That's impressive.
You know, I don't mind a little bit of layers. I tell people who I grew up with all the time that after I spent my 6 years in Sacramento, I have a different kind of appreciation for heat. So while it's a little warm today, it definitely beats July in the spot that I went to college at. I will say that.
Wait, where'd you go? Where'd you go to college?
I went to Sacramento State.
Oh, you went to Sac State. Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah. So that can get like inland California.
Yeah,
it's the real deal.
I went to Morehead State, where it was -10 a lot of times. So
it shows.
It does show.
By the way, your doppelganger, lean and mean now.
Oh, Big Ben.
How do you feel about that?
Well, our producer Ethan was like, well, "Are you moving at all?" And I'm like, "I'm Big Ben in the pocket, right? I'm not moving anywhere." the rest of the trip here.
Okay, we are going to. So the reason Deontay's coming on, not just because he's fantastic, but because we are going to do a defensive player draft. So Deontay, this is on the heels of us doing a little discussion on coverage versus pass rush. It always gets very heated. There are a lot of people who feel very passionately that there is a right answer and it's one way or the other. And so we figured doing a draft of defensive players would be a fun way to see where everyone's opinions lie, how we would like to construct a defense. And I'm not sure there's anyone that would understand defensive scheme and where it's heading better than you. So it'll be really interesting for us to see which players you're valuing and how you look at coverage versus pass rush with respect to the players that you're choosing. So the parameters for the draft, snake draft, Eric is going first. Deontay is going second. I will be going third, then picking fourth, and then we're snake back and forth. We'll probably do 5 to 8 rounds. All 11 feels like a little bit much for you guys. I think we'll get most of it out of the way. And we've decided, I think, that we can pick coaches.
We can pick coaches?
I thought that's what we decided. Deontay, what, you can be the tiebreaker. What do you think?
Yeah, well, we can pick coaches. I have a list of guys. I definitely have a cutoff on coaches that would be more as or more valuable than a position player. So yeah, if you guys are down to do it, I'm down to do it as well.
Why not? Why not?
Let's do it. Yeah.
I'm interested to see where a coach goes. I'm also really interested to see where a linebacker goes.
Mm-hmm.
Fred Warner, obviously.
Given what happened today, your 49ers, George.
My Niners. We're not going to talk about that. I love Fred Warner. It's tough whenever you see a guy who's like, you know, an awesome player and a really cool dude, and then he makes a ton of money, but he plays a position where you're like, I don't know.
Yeah. There's a way to say that without being a complete dick, though, which yes. I feel like a lot of people miss.
I struggle with that, honestly. Yeah. Okay, let's get the ball rolling here. Eric, you are on the clock.
I think this one's actually pretty easy. This is something George has followed this along. I know Deontay's been with us for almost a year or so now. You know, there's this issue where, you know, prior versions of WAR were very much more at the single season level, you know, conducive to giving out big values to players in coverage. But obviously the stability is not necessarily there. Coverage players, even as good as Stephon Gilmore, for example, for reasons like injury and so on, are streaky. And so, as I talked about on the last PFF forecast, if having to choose and getting to choose, in this case, more than one player, but having to choose one first, I'm going to take the most valuable defensive player, I think, in the NFL over the past few years. And I'm going to go with Rams defensive interior player Aaron Donald. Obviously, I don't need to explain this. He's the best fucking player in the NFL. So
this is good because my preparation for this draft, Deontay, was trying to figure out what each of you motherfuckers was going to do. And I'm one for one.
Yeah, I mean, I sort of tipped my hand the last show.
No big shock there. Okay, here's where it gets. Now, here's where I have no idea what's going to happen. Deontay, you're on the clock.
Yeah, so obviously was expecting you to take Aaron Donald. And I think that your logic behind Aaron Donald, beyond him just being the best player in the NFL, it kind of tracks. Like, right, when you start talking about the data between, you know, pass rushing coverage and trying to find something that's sustainable and then judging that up against guys that are talented and can kind of fit, you know, what we're looking for as analysts as far as like the best defensive players and who adds the most value on that end. And for that reason, I'm going to go pass rush as well. The guy I'm taking is going to be Chicago Bears edge defender Khalil Mack.
Okay. Khalil Mack, by the way, the most valuable edge player over the last 3 seasons, just barely edging out the Watts. But very much in agreement there, especially given Mac's age, like the age, yeah. The age brilliance
now,
combination is pretty good.
I did
good.
A bad right. job setting this up. I should also say that we're drafting for a team that is good. Okay, we're not drafting for some like bottom feeder team.
Yeah.
We're also not drafting for the Chiefs. I think the one you threw out there was like the Browns.
Yeah,
where they could win a Super Bowl this year. You know, right. So I'm not drafting only for the future, but I'm also, you know, I'm. Age still is a thing.
You don't need so that you're it's not okay just to have an okay defense, right?
Yep.
But it's also you don't need to do what the Dolphins did last year, which is get 10 intercept. Like you're good enough where a good defense helps you win a Super Bowl. That's kind of the hope here. And I think Mac is a very special player, still in his prime, especially given how a lot of edge players age. Yeah, you know, the really good ones.
Deontay was so Khalil Mack, highest graded edge defender last year, but didn't have the sack numbers. Obviously, we talk about how, you know, pressures are more indicative of a player's performance than sacks. But he's not the youngest guy in this group of edge defenders. What was your calculus there?
I think that what I was really looking for was. A, how a guy performed last year, of course, but I tried to expand it to like the last 2 to 3 seasons and kind of get an idea of if I'm drafting a guy, especially, you know, if we're going kind of fantasy draft style where I'm picking this guy up and maybe I want him to be on my defense for the next 2 to 3 years, I want to look and see how he's performed, where things are trending. And while I do think his sack numbers are kind of starting to dip, obviously the age is starting to advance a little bit. I feel very confident in Khalil Mack's ability, even when in consideration of his age, when we talk about like trying to forecast out what the immediate future is going to be like, whether he becomes or returns to being a 15, 16 sack type of player again is almost irrelevant, right? I want to know that I have a guy that can continue to generate pressure. You know, we'll kind of get to this as we continue to build out the rest of our defenses. But if I have that piece, you know, that adds value to all of the other pieces that I'm looking to draft as well. So there's kind of this, you know, this additive, this kind of like, you know, multiplication, you know, like that combo multiplier effect that you get from having an elite level edge defender like Khalil Mack is.
Yeah, that, I mean, he's amazing. It's so, I really hope that Justin Fields is good in large part so that Khalil Mack will finally have an opportunity to play with a good cornerback.
All right, so you get the turn, George.
I'm excited. So this has not gone as I predicted, okay? I did not expect Mack to go there. However, this means that the guy that I thought would go number two is available for me. I'm going to take, in my opinion, there's a gap between cornerback one and the rest of the cornerbacks, a cornerback who can really impact a coverage unit in a way that allows the rest of the pieces to be optimal, means that I can play him anywhere and he's the best player at that position. So if I have Davante Adams and he moves into the slot, I'm not worried about it. If I have Davante Adams and or Tyreek Hill and they're out wide, I'm not worried about it. So I am going with Jalen Ramsey, cornerback one. I'm pretty excited about it. I think maybe you could have predicted this is where I would go.
Yeah, I think you – so I think that you have an affinity for Ramsey, which is understandable. I do think that there are other players in his class, but I don't sort of want to, like, give that away.
Yeah, and when we get to them – so I have more faith in Jalen Ramsey than I think – I put two other guys in that class, and I'll be curious Deontay's take on this when we get to them. I'll see what Deontay does after this next pick. I could have easily – the guy that I thought Deontay was going to take was Myles Garrett, and I'm going to take Myles Garrett on the other side of things. I think Myles Garrett – now, interestingly, already plays for the Rams. For the Browns. Myles Garrett – it was Myles Garrett, Khalil Mack, and Nick Bosa, in my opinion, that I was thinking about for this pick. And I just can't – I'll be honest with you. Myles Garrett is just a better athlete than everyone else at the position. And that's gonna be the case for, like, the next 8 years. So I'm going with Myles Garrett. I feel pretty damn good about Ramsey Garrett, almost as good as I would feel about Ramsey Donald. Deontay, you're
right. Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. That it was actually a guy that was one of the guys I was debating on, especially when you start talking about like age and matching it up with whatever else I'm planning to draft. And for that reason, my next pick is going to be a corner that, while I don't think is in Jalen Ramsey's class, can definitely contend, you know, year in and year out for being maybe the best coverage corner in the NFL. And that would be Tre'Davious Wright of the Buffalo Bills. I feel like, you know, using his young age, you know, to kind of offset what I have, you know, and kind of like maybe not post-prime, but on the late end of his prime in Khalil Mack. I feel good about that. I have a number one corner that I can kind of turn my back and not have to worry about how he's going to be in coverage. And this also fits, you know, some of the coach brain that I have. You know, the edges of the defense are always of high value. And while Aaron Donald is no doubt, you know, no debate, the best defensive player in the NFL, when I was looking at my approach for the draft, because I wasn't going to have the first pick to get him, My thought was, well, let's try to solidify the edges of the defense as much as possible. That happens out on the perimeter with corners and on the ends, on the edges of the tackles with our edge rushers. So for that reason, I'm going to pair up Khalil Mack with Tre'Davious.
Does this in any way dictate the type of scheme that you're going to run, or do you feel that Trey White is scheme independent?
I think that Trey White's tools would lend himself to being more scheme independent, but there's definitely a kind of way that I'm leaning. And you know, when we get to the conversation about the kind of coaches that guys are after, I think it'll be pretty clear which way I'm leaning, you know, as the rest of this defense gets built out. But as a man corner, like I said, you can put him on a number one receiver out on the perimeter and forget about it. And as we get into building out the rest of the defense, we start talking about guys who are going to be in the slot, the linebacker position, winner, if we ever get to it. I think that everything will kind of come into focus as to what it is that I think would be the best way to approach building this defense out for me.
Well, I not to say that I don't like you guys' picks. This landed really well for me. I feel like the Washington football team back in the the 2000 draft, the one after they traded they got the whole draft for Ricky Williams.
Yeah.
They ended up so bad, and the Saints so bad, that they had the second and third pick. And now I got to decide which one of these two corners that I'm going to draft right now goes first, just so that they get paid a little bit more. And I'm going to go with a slightly this player, and George already knows who I'm picking because it's one of my favorite players in the NFL. 9 forced fumbles last year, 13 pressures and 3 sacks the last 2 years.
Incredible.
4 interceptions, 31 pass breakups the last 3 years. Plays over 1,000 snaps in the slot the last 1,100 snaps in the slot the last 2 years, and 800 snaps on the outside. I'm going to go with Baltimore Ravens cornerback Marlon Humphrey with my pick at 6.
So you think Marlon Humphrey is in the Ramsey class?
I think Marlon Humphrey is in the Ramsey class. I think Marlon Humphrey is the second most important player on the fourth best team in the NFL. Because I think when you look at the Ravens,
I don't know if anyone's arguing.
67% of their cap, 65, let's round down, percent of their cap was spent on defense last year. Once Lamar gets the bag, you can't spend as much on the defense, and Marlon Humphrey is going to be as important to that Ravens defense as somebody like Tyrann Mathieu is to the Chiefs defense. And I don't think that there are a couple of these sort of like multifaceted defensive backs for whom you took them off their defense and they drop 10 spots. And I think that's Humphrey.
I guess the one thing that's interesting is I agree with you, but it's also because like the offense has no one on it. It's like, it's not Mark Andrews. I'll tell you, that's not the second most important player on that on that team. My take, and I'm curious how you would feel about this, Deontay. So I look at the Ravens and I go, wow, they have a lot of playmakers on defense. Am I that confident? I think Marlon Humphrey's great. But how confident am I that he is able to rise above kind of, you know, lesser players around him? Whereas with Ramsey, I'm a little more confident. I also think physically, Ramsey is in a different class. What do you think about that, Deontay?
I mean, for that reason is why, you know, while I think it's a coin flip maybe on talent, raw talent between Humphrey and White, I lean towards Trey White. Because I feel like, you know, for all the other deficiencies that the Bills have had defensively the last couple of years, again, you can turn your back and count on the fact that Trey White can handle his business out on the perimeter. That's not to say that if Marlon Humphrey was playing away from a Wink Martindale defense or didn't have Marcus Peters or the other guys that they have in the interior, you know, to help him out in terms of generating pressure and playing good coverage away from him, you know, I think that he could still stand tall. I just don't know how maybe we would grade him, you know, on the PFF, and if you were playing for a different type of defense. I think he has all the tools, but, you know, we're kind of playing out hypotheticals, but I'm not so certain that his performance on a week-by-week basis would stand up the same way that it does, you know, with the supporting cast that he has in Baltimore.
You bring in Wink Martindale over?
Not yet.
By
the way, the interesting thing is, Marlon Humphrey's best grade in 2018 on our 0-100 scale was when he played more than 90% of his snaps on the outside. I think the inside position is something of a reducing your own rating a small amount to enhance that of others. You've seen guys like Chuck Clark end up being 100, you know, like 100 pass rush safeties. You see Marcus Peters go from basically a flop in LA to a back to being a Pro Bowler in Baltimore, covering up guys like Patrick Queen, who didn't grade well a season ago. And you look at that, no real great pass rush talent there. I know Judon got a great contract, but I think many people believe he's sort of a product. Like, I think Humphrey makes a lot of those things more true than somebody who's maybe a little bit less good than him. And then after that, I'm going to go with a guy who's actually earned more WAR than Humphrey, but I think because in the Green Bay defense, he is allowed to excel a little bit more, you know, gets his hands on a lot of footballs, is, I think, a very physical player.
Great personality.
a great personality, just fun to watch. Almost brought Green Bay back from the depths in that NFC Championship game, almost with his interceptions alone. Jaire Alexander, formerly of Louisville, the cornerback for the Packers, I will take at 7.
I would have taken Jaire over both Trey White and Humphrey. A little bit based on like projection, where I think I know more where Trey White and Humphrey's ceiling is, and I feel Jaire's ceiling is closer to Ramsey's than those guys. But he's really had one great season. You know, that first year it was like, yeah, there's some really special splash plays there, but he has also given up some pretty big plays. So Deontay, I don't know if you were thinking about taking Jaire there, but he's no longer there for you, buddy.
Jaire was one of the guys that I was kind of debating. You know, again, when we start talking about the tier below a Jalen Ramsey type, I don't consider the three corners that we're taking after him to be equals, but I do think they all exist in that same kind of tier where, whereas maybe like a Jaire, like you said, is more on the projection end. I think Trey White is probably closer to being at whatever his peak is going to be as he gets into the prime of his career. And same kind of issue with Marlon Humphrey. I like the idea of projecting out, you know, based on his tools and his performance. I do think that he has more than enough capability to be the type of corner that can kind of mitigate some of the explosive plays. And I think that we know, you know, on a play-by-play basis, he's great in coverage, and he can obviously, you know, create explosive plays for your defense as well in terms of forcing turnovers. So I'm not mad at that pick. You know, where I'm kind of thinking of going now, and this kind of ties to the conversation we were having before we started recording as far as like where backers, where our linebackers are going to go. And then I think this extends to the safety position as well. I kind of want to mitigate the margin for error. I want to make the margin for error as wide as possible at the linebacker position. So that way, if I don't get to one, I don't feel like I have a hole at that spot. So for that reason, I'm going to take another edge rusher, kind of take some of the stress off of the middle of the defense. I'm going to go ahead and pick Joey Bosa of the Los Angeles Chargers.
Okay. Why Joey over Nick?
This may kind of just be an aesthetic thing for me. I was a big fan of the way that Joey rushed the passer at Ohio State. I've always loved guys that are more kind of like handsy guys in terms of pass rush. I do think if you're talking about the future, especially, you know, 2 to 3 years down the road, I think that Nick has him edged out. Both in terms of where his production has been at, you know, at similar ages and kind of where he's projecting out to be as he gets into the prime of his career. I've just always leaned Joey. I like his game a little bit better. And for that reason, that's my pick. But, you know, you don't have to talk me down off the ledge to convince me.
No, and it's Nick interesting.
Bosa will be the better choice.
It's interesting, though, because I'm sitting here and both Bosas were guys that I was thinking about. I'm also not yet considering a linebacker here. And so is Chase Young. Chase Young is a guy that I'm thinking about as well. But from a production standpoint, like Nick Bosa's production was insane. And that is just hard for me to overlook. And it wasn't as if the Washington football team didn't have, you know, people go, oh, well, Nick Bosa had a great defense around him and that allowed him. The Washington football team defense was very, very good. So it's not something that's getting in the way for me. So I'm going to go with Nick Bosa, and then I have another pick coming back, and this is getting a little tricky because when I look at the corners, you know, now I'm picking guys who, you know, some of them have had one good year, you know, a couple of maybe not so great years, but I think it's, you know, man, there's really three guys here that I'm looking at. And I know that James Bradberry played really well last year, but I'm going to go with Xavien Howard from the Miami Dolphins. And to me, it's about, as Deontay was talking about, like, who do I just have the most confidence in on the outside against stud wide receivers? And Xavien Howard is that guy. 18 or 19% of his targets since 2016. Have been broken up by Xavien Howard.
Here's a question I have for Deontay, because when the first thing that comes to my mind when you say Xavien Howard, I'm wondering, did you even take the right Dolphins corner?
I think you're high if that's your question, but sure.
I think that, I mean, that's a strong question to ask. I wouldn't accuse you of being high for making that assertion, but I believe closer to where George is kind of looking at it. I think that Xavier Howard's play, you know, you take the variance of turnover luck out of it, he still was an excellent corner. For only focusing on like PBUs and, you know, the lack of separation that was generated when he was in man coverage, you're looking at a near elite, if not elite level cornerback as is. And again, you know, when we start talking about age and projection, I think he's firmly getting into the prime of his career. And this is probably the player he's going to be for the next 2 to 3 seasons. So I'd feel really good about, you know, sustainable production at the corner position if Xavier Howard's your pick.
Okay, because when I look at Jones, last season was not great for him.
No.
He gave up, you know, his grade in coverage was 61.5, but it was the only bad grade he's had in his mm-hmm. career in coverage. And he's also, there's some anti-fragility there with him being able to also play slot and safety, but having excelled specifically, having played the toughest of those positions, mm-hmm. I think, which mm-hmm. is corner. Whereas with Howard, you had an amazing year, I believe, in 17. You had a couple down seasons in 18, 19. And then you had, among Jones's seasons and Howard's season, the best of all of them last year. The instability there is what I'm worried about. And again, I think when you're selecting among the best of the best at NFL, you know, defensive players, corner streaky anyway, right? And you might just want to select for the best streaks, and that is Howard. But it was the thing that popped into my head.
I'm curious your thought here, Deontay. But like, I look at coverage grade, and we talked about this a little bit on our last podcast. It's like, there is a lot of reason why coverage can both fundamentally be unstable from season to season, but also the way we measure it can add to how unstable we think it is, you know? So Miami hasn't exactly been the best place to play, you know, in its last 4 years. Their defense hasn't exactly been, you know, loaded with people that you want to play with. I have a feeling that Ramsey and Xavier Howard together are going to be pretty solid going forward.
That's a pretty fair assumption to make. I mean, considering what else you have on your roster, you know, I think that that's pretty safe. You're not going to be asking Xavier Howard to be a superhero as a corner, you know, and I think that, you know, similar to what the context is in terms of the defensive backfield in Miami, I think that that fits him well. You know, he doesn't necessarily have to be a number two corner, but just the idea that there's another reliable guy across from him, I think, adds to what you get in terms of your return on investment for drafting and where you did. So that makes a lot of sense to me.
All right. We are in the middle now of round four. Deontay, you are on the clock.
This is where, because you took Xavier Howard, which was kind of my plan to pick, I kind of have to scramble a bit.
So, uh-oh.
Yeah, this is where you see, you know, everybody in the war room kind of starting to
get a little antsy.
A little bit. So you brought up James Bradbury, and that's somebody that I've been kind of thinking about as a contingency plan, if this is the way that it went. But looking at what else is available on the board, I think that I'd be a little bit more comfortable going in a different place in terms of position. Now I'm trying to think about guys that are going to be flexible, that I can use either in the slot, you know, up high as a safety. They could play outside corner if need be, but that may not necessarily be the number one ask I have of them. I've got a reason to believe that the guy that I would like to be my number two corner will probably still be around a couple rounds from now. So for that reason, coming off an injury, and this may be...
Oh, no, he's doing it.
Fingers crossed there's a situation. I'm going to call my shot and take Derwin James.
Oh, I thought I was going to get sneaky here. And I should have known the fucking San Diego
I actually like... No, this is good because... I'm thinking,
I mean, of course it's good, but I'm just like, yeah, I'm gutted because
George has seen another. Well, actually, the Niners didn't even get sniped. They just straight
no,
up
they
didn't
just didn't take him.
Yeah, took Mike McGlinchey. You love to see it, and the
that's a great pick. I love that pick.
I kind of like a similar player, but I don't know if I can take him here.
Can we talk about Derwin James for a second?
The fact that
he has been injured for the past two seasons is one of the not talked about real sadnesses that we've had. He's amazing.
Knew when he went to the Chargers
screwed. So Deontay, let's look at your roster. You've got Mac, Trey White, Joey Bosa, and Derwin James. which obviously is very good because three of us are drafting here. But let's talk about Derwin James and the Chargers this year. We saw what Brandon Staley did with the Rams last year. Like, how do you think he uses Derwin to maximize him this year?
I think that it's interesting now. I think if Brandon Staley takes over the Chargers last year with the safety room that they had a season ago, he's probably playing more of the Jalen Ramsey role that he had, you know, with the Rams under Brandon Staley. This season, I think while he's trying to figure out exactly where he wants to spend his money, as far as building out the rest of the team, I would expect him to play maybe a little bit less in the slot and more kind of as a John Johnson flexible type, where he might be everywhere on the field. You know, one snap he's going to be in the middle of the field, the next snap he may be in the slot, then he might be your dime backer. So I would expect to see a lot of him moving around. You know, and obviously we're projecting on health. You know, there's an opportunity that maybe he's not moving as well as he used to. And if that's the case, then that obviously would change, you know, how we're thinking about it. But I would expect him to see him everywhere. I think that once Staley kind of gets to his ideal version of the defense, he's probably playing, if not strictly in the slot, majority, you know, maybe 70% of his snaps in the slot.
Okay.
But I would expect to see him kind of bounce around while Staley tries to figure out how he needs to fix the corners and safeties on this roster going forward.
I think he's a sneaky DPOY candidate. Also, maybe comeback player of the year candidate. But I love Derwin James. Eric, you're on the clock.
I'm going to take two pass rushers here. I'm going to take TJ Watt of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay.
Edge player here. Watt has been, per WAR, the third most valuable edge player in football the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. I think he's an elevator. I do think, though, that Hayward and Tuitt are players where I don't know how he'd do without them. I'm perfectly confident in how he'll do without your guy Bud Dupree, but I do think Watt is TJ Watt is a star.
Struggle without.
I think me getting him with the 12th pick is not. It's certainly a step down from Deontay getting Mac with the second pick, but I don't know if it's 10 picks in magnitude.
Mm-hmm.
And then. I'm going to do this because I know in my heart of hearts, I believe coverage is streaky. In my heart of hearts, I believe in versatility. And we're not drafting contracts here. We're not drafting terrible decisions in front offices.
Yeah. Oh, I'm gonna going this way.
I'm going to go with safety Jamal Adams of the Seattle Seahawks.
Oh, I thought you were going Frank Clark.
Oh, Jesus. So Jamal Adams really struggled in coverage last year. We all know, and anybody that spent time with PFF, we know that the coverage is an inherently unstable thing. Prior to that, he was very good, in the context of what the Jets asked him to do. But you also get, 25 to 30 pressures from that player, and you get good run defense. And in my defense right now, which has two amazing defensive linemen, two good corners with inside-outside flexibility, I don't have a linebacker yet, and this player, in the worst of circumstances, can provide some middle of the field play. I'm not calling him a linebacker. I'm just saying that's
Where, Deontay, let me ask you this: where, because like from a PFF grade perspective, coverage is streaky. As you watched and studied the game, like looking at studying how schemes, because players play in different schemes all the time and like different situations. Hey, what do you think the reason for streakiness in coverage is? Or do you even think it's truly streaky? Like, do you really think that there's actually instability there, or that it's just like the results are different because of all these other things?
I think it'll always be streaky because it's one of the few things defensively where good play can still give you a quote unquote bad result, right? I think that the variance in pass defense so high when we're talking about coverage in a way that doesn't really exist in pass rush. And that's why, I think it's always important to kind of ground it in that comparative metric type of way, right? Where we're looking at coverage versus pass rush instead of one coverage guy versus another.
Mm-hmm.
Because the variance can be all over the place, especially when you start talking about guys who are defending on the interior, your linebackers, your safety types, all the different type of offenses you see, how do you control for a more RPO heavy type of attack versus, your Kyle Shanahan's, what guys are being asked to do and what they're being asked to defend. and, you know, the way that a defense considers a result to be good versus bad, you know, in all these cases, I think that lends to a difficulty in finding stability and grading for us, and trying to find guys who provide good value at these positions. You know, there are a lot of different ways that you can use interior coverage defenders. And for that reason, it can be very difficult to find out, okay, is a guy really a good man defender, or is he only being asked to guard the fourth best receiving option on an offense? You know, I was actually having a conversation with Seth and a few other guys in a group chat earlier today, and we were kind of laughing at how much attention was given to like the money backer position about 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah.
When really the truth is that you can have a good coverage guy there, but the truth of the matter is that that guy's probably being asked to guard maybe the worst receiving option there. So can you provide some value in terms of, hey, we know we've got a plus coverage guy there and he's just going to be completely cutting this guy's water off? Yes, but in the grand scheme of things, is that adding to what's happening with the rest of your defense if your slot defender or your outside corner can't handle his matchup? Probably not so much. So, you know, when you consider things like all the moving pieces that go on, relying on your teammates, and all the different kind of variations in terms of the kinds of throws you're getting versus the types of coverages you're playing and how we grade that and the results that come out of that, I think that we're going to be looking at, you know, kind of a rocky metric for a while. You know, we'll continue to grow and attack it in different ways. You know, I'm sure that's something that you guys can all speak to as well. You know, as we continue to try to develop the best way to grade these types of things. But I think that it's going to be, in terms of comparison to pass rush, it's always going to have a higher variance and less stability year over year.
I like the point. I was mesmerized myself. One of the first few things I did when I started doing analytics for PFF was trying to show the value of these money backers, right? The Deion Buchanans and the Mark Barons and like the, and I, it, they just ended up being like, they're just linebackers, right? And they give up one thing, right? They gave up the run in the case of Buchanan and Barron. And like, you know, when you can't flex back to safety, I think that you just lose a ton of value, right? Like, I think the value in a player being able to play down is that they can play further away from the ball too and be competent. And unfortunately, I think that like the Sua Cravens of the world, like, never caught on. And part of him was concussions.
You really went with Sua Cravens,
but like,
huh?
But the other part was like, where is he going to play on first and second down in the case of you know, safety and that kind of thing? So that was a good point there.
All right, where are we at here? So Deontay, you're up
here. Yep. So now we're probably, for me at least, we're kind of at the part of the draft where some of the different pairings I thought I might like are not available. You know, guys are kind of gone. So now I'm kind of debating where I want to go in terms of flexibility, like we've been mentioning, versus best guy at best position. And I think that's kind of where I'm leaning. One of my favorite players in the NFL, somebody who can do a whole lot of everything. And when we start talking about coaches and flexibility that I'm looking for, especially on the interior of the defense, I think this will make a lot of sense. And this will be Denver Broncos safety, Justin Simmons.
Oh, you did it to me again. He did it to me again. I'm literally looking at Justin Simmons' fucking player page on PFF.com. I hate you. God,
I mean,
damn it.
Elite coverage grade in 2019. Another solid coverage grade this past year. He's a guy who can help you out in defending the run, even if that's not maybe his best trait. You know, we got some pretty sustainable grades, 74 this past year, 86 the year before. So I feel good no matter what else is in front of him, especially with the elite talent that I feel that I have at, you know, my cornerback one position and the pass rushers that we've got. If I need to be simple and just ask him to play the middle of the field, he can do that. And if I need to ask him to do a little bit more in coverage, he can obviously handle that as well.
What are you gonna say?
Yeah, no, that's he's a good football player.
Yeah, now I'm just
sometimes things are simple
with my dick in my hand, going, well, okay, what do I do now?
Yeah, thankfully you have some experience.
Thank you, I appreciate that. This is a family friendly podcast, okay? Well, the answer to that question is not going to be selecting a linebacker, unfortunately. And this is not hatred towards.
So are we doing one more round? I was going to ask this. So this is the end of round five. Let's do one more.
Okay.
Each of us gets one more player. Or no, you get two more after this.
But what if we did two more rounds?
Okay.
After this. We'll speed through them here.
All right.
Okay. That's going to rely on me to actually make a pick, but I'm going to do it. the player that I'm going to choose here is going to be, oh man, I really want to take Justin Simmons. I'm going to take Denzel Ward. And I like that pick. I know this is a third corner, but I feel as though Denzel Ward, Jalen Ramsey, I think Xavien Howard is probably more of an outside guy, but I feel as though I have three corners who they have the ability to lock a guy down. And Denzel Ward to me is on the outside of that Jair. Like I wouldn't be surprised if we're talking about Denzel Ward that we're talking about Jair Alexander at the end of this year.
Only if he doesn't get to cover Travis Kelce.
Yes, that would be something that I would avoid, okay, is putting Denzel Ward on Travis Kelce. I will say there were a couple of safeties that I was thinking about taking here. And ultimately, I just felt as though because there were a few of them, and I think Denzel Ward probably has a ceiling unlike the rest of the corners that are available. So I'm going to go Denzel Ward there. And then with my next pick, I think I may dip my toe into the safety realm here, and I'm going to take Marcus May, Jets safety.
I was halfway with you there. I was.
Yeah, Marcus Williams.
Yeah, I was good.
Yeah.
Despite the duck in the 2018 divisional round, I was gonna. Okay.
Yeah, I really like Marcus Williams. What I liked about Marcus May was the fact that he can play similar to what Justin Simmons has done. He can play deep safety, he can play in the box a little bit, as he showed last year, and actually earned his highest grade. And here's what I think is really spectacular about Marcus May. He graded well while playing in like the shittiest fucking defense on planet Earth. Yeah. So I have a feeling that with Robert Saleh, he is going to blossom into a lovely safety. I understand he's not Derwin James, but I think he's going to be a nice versatile piece for me.
Yeah, I'm not mad at that at all. Marcus May was probably going to be my next pick. I guess you can consider us even now. But I am going to stay, you know, in that kind of position group for my next pick, another flexible guy. So, again, I think I'm kind of showing my hand in terms of the way I'm thinking about defense. This is a guy that ended up being traded because he asked not to be as flexible as he was when he started his career. But, you know, if he's going to be playing defense for me, then he's just going to have to suck it up. Sorry. I'm going with Pittsburgh Steelers safety Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Nice.
Minkah, I had a tweet the other day that said the Alabama Crimson Tide are so good that players like Minkah Fitzpatrick and Marlon Humphrey get experience in nickel corner when they play there. That's a good one. Especially, I think, Deontay, you're sort of leaning into a great 2019, not quite as great of a 2020, but sort of like a streaky, the sort of bottoming back, coming back up.
Well, I think it's clear that he's also got players where if you're playing against Deontay's defense at this point, you have no fucking idea
where they're going to line up.
Right. Play, right? Like you have Derwin James, Justin Simmons, and Minkah Fitzpatrick, and trying to put positions on them, I feel like, is going to be kind of hard.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and I feel even more confident about that because you also have to worry about the two pass rushers that are on there.
Right.
And there's and I have a CB1 that I feel really good about. So, you know, because of that, I feel like I've bought myself a lot of flexibility on the interior. And again, to that conversation we were having before we started talking on the mic about linebackers, this is putting me in a position where whatever guy ends up playing linebacker, not that it doesn't matter, but I'm probably going to be getting average or plus value, you know, worst case scenario, because there's so much versatility that's going to be around him.
Yeah. Okay, my thought process here, I'm going to not take this player, but I do want to say that I thought about it.
Oh.
Age is the only reason I'm not taking this player, to both of these players. I do think...
Just tossing players out there, okay.
Levante David and DeMario Davis deserve a consideration here. If they were 4 years younger each, I would consider
taking them. So you're going linebacker?
No, I'm not. Uh-oh. I'm just saying, like, I'm bringing up linebacker as a notion that I actually thought about it.
Okay.
You know?
Because if I were thinking about linebacker, those were not the two names I was going to bring up.
Yeah, I mean, DeMario Davis has started slow in his career, but like has generated a shit ton of value for the Saints over the past few years. He's 32 years old. That's tough. Levante David is the exact same. I think Levante David is the sort of like is, you know, you have two friends and the one is like out there, like, you know, getting drunk and having a great time.
This is gonna be good.
And Lavonte David's the best friend that picks him up and drives him home. That's the Bucks linebackers, and I feel like Devin White is like Devin White's the crazy drunk guy that's having a great time, and Lavonte David is like the friend that steadies the ship. And on average, they're two great people.
Yeah,
and
but Devin White's the guy who, like, when you go back the next day,
yeah,
and
no,
you're
he's
like,
great.
Do you remember last night at the bar? And you're like, yeah, Devin White was absolutely lighting it up.
Yeah, exactly. How fun was like that? Like, look. The Austin Gales of the group have meaning, you know, like you have to have them. But
Deontay, are you more Lavonte David or Devin White?
I'm more Lavonte David. Okay. This is strong logic here, so I'm having a hard time, you know, refuting what you're saying. But for me, you know, with Lavonte David and the linebacker position in general, like the freak athlete thing, I almost, it's not that I don't care what other tools that you have, but the ability to just be able to make plays based off of what you can do with your legs means so much to me at that position. And Lavonte is obviously a guy who can do that, you know, in spades. And that's why I'd probably lean in that direction.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's awesome.
Okay, make your picks here.
Okay. I'm going to go with the player that I just talked about, Marcus Williams, safety, nice. Franchise player. So two guys on the franchise tag at the safety position in Marcus May and Marcus Williams here. And then I am going to go with edge player from the Washington football team, Chase Young.
Damn you. Nice pick.
Thanks, George.
Oh, I was projecting that that's where George wanted to go.
Yeah. Fuck.
Well, I think I have a pretty damn good defense.
Yeah, so do I. We all have really good defenses. I feel really strong about my defense. All right, Deontay, where are you going?
All right, I think now I can go ahead and round out this secondary with my second corner. This is a guy that you had mentioned, George, earlier, with one of the guys you might have been interested in at the corner spot, and that's going to be James Bradbury of the New York Giants. And really, I think this kind of rounds out the defensive secondary for me because I'm looking at a lot of guys that are kind of like-sized outside of Trey White, who's a little bit on the skinnier, kind of thinner type of side. So I would project for him to be the CB1, and then like you guys are saying, not knowing where any of the other guys are going to line up, Justin Simmons, Mika Fitzpatrick, Derwin James, and James Bradbury all have the length, the height, and the weight to be able to be, you know, near the box if need be. They can be out on the perimeter if need be. I can match a guy up with the tight end. I can make sure that we have slots covered, you know, and I can protect them with guys like Derwin or Justin Simmons, you know, as deep safeties. So for that reason, I'll go with James Bradbury. And now I feel like I've got a really difficult defense to generate explosive plays on.
Yep, I'd agree with you. Look, I was ready to take Chase Young. I don't have him anymore. So I'm going to be different, as I like to be sometimes. Dare to be a Daniel. And I'm going to take – look, if we were drafting offensive players, I would not take a coach. But –
none of us did.
None of you did. But in the NFL, I think one of the important pieces around stability from a coverage unit and what can make a coverage unit great is a coach who gets it. And so for that reason, I'm going to take Brandon Staley from our Los Angeles Chargers. I love that guy. I the way that he thinks about football from a offensive perspective and then puts that over on the defense, like that's the way you should be thinking about it.
Can he get his players vaccinated though? Did you see this? The Chargers find a way every goddamn year.
Like, all right, I am the owner of this team. I'll take them to get them vaccinated. Okay, we'll make that happen. Like, Brandon Staley won't have to do
this
that.
Time next year. I feel like the PFF shop is going to have a shirt that's George's size fitted. That's going to say, it wasn't Brandon Staley's fault.
I will have that shirt. That's actually that's gonna happen. And Deontay will be right there with me because Derwin James will have torn an Achilles or something.
Exactly.
Let's take a look at the teams here. So we'll call it at this point. So Eric, go through your team first.
So I have my front three, Aaron Donald on the interior, And then I have TJ Watt and Chase Young on the outside.
Mm-hmm. Not bad.
My two corners are Jair Alexander, Marlon Humphrey, my second and third pick. Mm-hmm. My safeties are Marcus Williams and Jamal Adams. I don't have a linebacker, even though I did consider it.
Impressive that you considered. I like your team. Let's go. Let's just look at the teams first. Deontay, want to read me your team, and we'll take a look here.
Yep. So we've got two edge defenders, Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa. My two corners on the outside would be Trey White and James Bradbury. I've got a deep safety, you know, versatile deep safety in Justin Simmons, and then two guys I can really move around between Minkah Fitzpatrick and Derwin James that can either play the nickel or be my weak side safety.
Before I get to my team, who is the coach that you would bring in an ideal world to work with this group?
It's actually going to be the mentor of the guy that you chose. It would be Vic Fangio.
Vic Fangio. That makes a lot of sense. My team, Jalen Ramsey was my first pick. Then I've got Myles Garrett and Nick Bosa as my edge defenders as my next two picks. I've got Xavien Howard and Denzel Ward as additional corners with Jalen Ramsey. And then I've got Marcus May playing safety and Brandon Staley putting all the pieces together. Not administering vaccines, but putting all the pieces together.
Before we get out of here, or before we start to wrap, since none of us picked a backer, I would be interested to hear which way you would have gone had this draft gone deep enough for you to take a backer.
I actually
would take David. I just think my issue is with injury and age at the linebacker position. Like, I'm fine with him with the group I have. You know,
when would you take him?
Probably right now, in my next round. Yeah.
Okay. I would take Fred Warner, and the reason being is that he feels as close to a safety as any of the linebackers are, you know, I want that flexibility. I want the fact that I can put him in the slot, move him around, and he's younger. I would, Deontay, probably take him maybe not the next round, but the round after that. I'm still looking at another either a pass rusher, actually even an interior player, that I feel really confident.
Well, have a player that you have to, you have one more player that you have to catch up to us with.
Catch up to you with. Yeah. What about you, Deontay?
So assuming that both those guys were off the board, my pick would probably be Eric Kendricks. A guy that, you know, I think that I'm not sure where the rest of his career is going to project in terms of productivity. It's really difficult for me to get a feel for a lot of the Vikings players, really. Know where the rest of their career is going to go from a productivity standpoint. But I feel good with the rest of the coverage ability that I have around him. And he's a good coverage player himself that, you know, I'm in a good spot in terms of having like freak athletes across the board. And in terms of when I would have picked him, it probably would be next. Some of the defensive interior guys that I really like that are left available, I think would be available a little bit later. They're all kind of trending outside of like DeForest Buckner and Leonard Williams. Some of the guys I like on the interior are also trending to be on a little bit of the older side. So not necessarily in a rush to take a Calais Campbell, a Fletcher Cox, or a Chris Jones very early. You know, I feel like I could have swept them up a little bit later on.
Who would you take first if all of the backers were out there? Would it still be Kendricks?
It would probably be Fred. Again, you know, same idea that you had, you know, versatile guy, basically safety skill set and a linebacker body that fits a lot of the versatility stuff that I've been kind of harping on throughout this. And again, to the point of, you know, judging playing a backer or drafting a backer versus a defensive interior player, I think that he adds value and coverage that wouldn't be made up in terms of run defense or pass rush from the interior with the rest of the guys that are available as like your nose tackles and three techniques and those types of things.
Imagine where the Niners would be if Reuben Foster hadn't
been an awful person.
Reuben Foster,
those two like linebackers
would
as far as range. Reuben Foster's taken it was 17. He was still playing. Like,
no.
Okay, then it's probably irrelevant. But like fan fiction, having both of them on the same team would be kind of outrageous given Ruben's range and all that stuff.
You know, it also would have been really sweet for the Niners if Emmanuel Sanders had just like dove and like caught the pass. You know, like that would have been really sick too.
I mean, or if they didn't spend all that money on Jerick McKinnon and Tevin Coleman.
They were worth it, okay? You don't know about the culture they brought to the
locker. It would also help to not have a quarterback that closes
Yeah. That's about to get hit. Deontay's just like, well, Jimmy G should have just laid the ball out there.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that
what if the Chiefs' tackles had just gotten injured a year earlier?
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, the fact, think about this. So, how much Tampa abused Mahomes? The Niners were about 75% of the way there with against Fisher and Mitchell Schwartz.
Yeah.
And like, and honestly, if, and I joked about this with Solomon Thomas in Vegas, if Buckner and Armstead just rush up field on Wasp instead of run a stunt, they're probably, Mahomes is probably sacked.
I'll say it's probably a sack, yeah, in their Super Bowl champs.
I didn't know that I signed up for this. We close out each episode, Deontay, with a segment we call recommendations. And when we don't have a guest on, Eric and I feed the people with a recommendation of something. It can be anything from a show to a book we've read to like something we've purchased that has helped us do something cool or be better at our job or be better in life. I often give out snobby recommendations about places to eat, which I get shit on for. But I want to give you an opportunity to give everyone a recommendation of something that has improved your life.
That's tough. So I will pick something for any potential San Diego tourists.
Like it.
If you do decide to come to the city, I won't bombard you with all the great taco places to go eat at, because the truth of the matter is that you can close your eyes, throw a rock, and wherever it lands, you can get a good taco. If you want a place where you can kind of spread yourself out in terms of foods to try, I would say going to Liberty Station. It's right around where, you know, our Navy base is at in Point Loma. The Marines also are based around there. You can get a great lobster roll. You can get some empanadas. There's a lot of different types of cuisines. It's a great place to be at, to walk around. You know, there are parks and all of that, so I would definitely recommend it. And you're right around the corner from Old Town. So if you want to get, you know, a little bit of the historical side of the city and, you know, kind of how San Diego came to be presently, I would definitely recommend that if you're ever planning on taking a weekend vacation or something like that out here.
Sounds like an invitation. Personally, Eric, is that's what I took away from it. So should probably.
I mean, I personally think everybody should live in San Diego.
Yeah, we should probably.
That's just one man's opinion.
Deontay, this was awesome, man. Welcome to the PFF team. Thanks for doing a draft with us, and we'll have you on again soon to take a look at how my team is dominating throughout the season. But thanks for hanging out, brother.
Well, thank you for having me.
We'll be back on Sunday. Thank you guys for hanging out. See ya.